Welcome to Creating Abundance with Alana Cahoon, sharing inspirational stories from experts around the world. Tap into your inner wisdom at alanacahoon.com. I am so happy to introduce today's guest. Dr. Karen LeCount is the creator of Loving Yourself Whole. This is a multifaceted coaching program designed to help conscientious old souls like you and me toward their soul's purpose through the power of self-love. And who doesn't love that already? She's the mother of two and is devoted to breaking dysfunctional legacies by understanding the codependent narcissistic dynamic that undermines love in many families across the globe. Dr. Karen is also the author of The Love Liar. That is such a great title, and the subtitle says it all. This is a memoir of narcissism, codependency, and the pursuit of self-love. Karen is a doctorate in optometry and has a passion for helping others see their own truth with unconditional love. Welcome. It's so wonderful to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Alana. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So is that your book in the background there on that gorgeous,
is
that red or pink cover?
Red. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Love Liar. I've got that on my Amazon wish list. It's right there. And I can't wait to read it. Well, I probably don't want to read it because then I'll just, you know, it'll just remind me of things. So tell us, how did you get here? You're a doctor of optometry and you've written this incredible book and you're shifting into the world of coaching.
Yeah, I had been pursuing spiritual studies my entire adult life. And I started with religions and then moved more toward New Age, delved deep into past lives, understanding reincarnation, wasn't really finding many answers with that, found some really fantastic answers with Course in Miracles. But what was happening was that I was caught up in this marriage where I was chronically sick with a autoimmune condition called ulcerative colitis and trying to raise my two kids, beginning to recognize that they were not getting along. My son, who was the older one, was bullying my daughter, and I was so caught up in just this lie that I was in a loving marriage and trying to just overlook all the signs that things were not at all loving in our household, and found that when I got to the final straw was when I had another major episode with ulcerative colitis and was needing a blood transfusion. And I really began to recognize my now ex-husband's indifference and complete lack of love. And it eventually allowed me to really recognize that it was abusive behavior that I was tolerating from him for years. And so there was a moment that I write about in the book where I finally recognized the little tiny voice inside me that had been trying to get me to wake up to what I was going through and recognize the lies that I was telling myself, the lies that I was accepting from my ex-husband, and all of that culminating into a night where I was needing a blood transfusion and he was complaining because I wasn't working and he needed his brakes replaced and he had a boring day and, you know, not even acknowledging that I was needing a blood transfusion and seriously, seriously ill. And so that inspired me to ask for a divorce, but it still took a year and a half to get out of that marriage, caught up in codependent patterns. And then even 2 years after that divorce, I was still caught up in codependent patterns, still trying to get him and my family members and friends to understand how much pain and suffering I was going through, and basically still unable to love myself and really fighting to get others to love me through validating me, through just compassion, giving me compassion. I wasn't getting that from just about anywhere. And it woke me up to the fact that I really needed to learn how to love myself. And it was a very dramatic scene in an ambulance as I was having to fight for my life through, I ended up having to give up my colon with the wow. condition of ulcerative colitis. And so that is what inspired me to write the book and really dive into understanding narcissism and codependency and recognize that both of them are a defect in one's ability to love oneself, and how that really plays out in our decisions, even our health. And I wrote the book, continued on my journey, lived in Wisconsin at the time with my children. And once the book came out, I made a plan to move to Austin, Texas, to just kind of get away from the toxicity that we were dealing with in Wisconsin and really do a deeper dive in pursuit of self-love and create the program that I've created. And it's all been a journey that is not a one and done kind of, okay, I love myself kind of thing. It's a recognizing of how much of a journey this is and how much we really get stuck in patterns of fear and, of course, the codependent patterns, and how to recognize the need to overcome that in the understanding of why we get caught up in these patterns, the understanding of why fear just hijacks our growth, and how to have compassion for that part of us that's so afraid and be able to take the steps to move forward and overcome.
Wow. What a journey you have experienced. You shared so much in that powerful opening. So I do want to step back. You said after describing that the codependent narcissistic relationship, that it was this night of darkness, this crisis. There you are in an ambulance fighting for your life, and your husband is bored and wants you to get back to work. Can we hurry up with this, honey? But what's beautiful is you're not blaming anyone. You said it is the narcissistic codependent relationship is a defect in self-love on both sides. Mm-hmm. Both sides are suffering. You know, the narcissist is not a monster, although they might feel like a monster, but it's because they can't. Their heart is closed. Mm-hmm. Their heart has hardened for whatever reason. And mm-hmm. the codependent is just, I think in my own knowledge, experience and reading, it's about wanting to fill that love, you know, needing someone, yeah, to validate you. So, wow, what an amazing story and so powerful.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where you've got to have gratitude for what you've been through, and to recognize that blame is a very toxic negative energy that is counter to the positivity of gratitude. And so letting that go is absolute paramount to healing from any of that. And that's something that really inspired me to write my book, because so many of the books out there that I was reading about narcissism were all about blaming them and painting them as these horrible people and let's chase them down with pitchforks. And that's not doing anything, anybody, any good. And I, you know, my ex-husband is a deeply insecure person. And I should probably be saying was, because I do feel like he has done some work. And I, you know, we have an amicable relationship. I have very much encouraged my children to maintain a relationship with him. I've just coached them on how to make sure that that's on their terms. And they recognize that. They recognize that when their dad is in fear and trying to manipulate them, and they've really come to a place where I think that they have a beautiful, as beautiful a relationship as they could have with him, especially my son. I mean, it's a little bit more of a challenge for him because there was some physical abuse in there between the two of them that was what was initiating his bullying of my daughter, which I was not seeing when I was in marriage. And I still just feel very strongly that it's important that they have a relationship with him.
I agree. I think that's honorable. And, you know, our children come into both of our lives, not one, not the other. And setting your child against one of the parents is not, I don't think it's in the best interest. You're not, you don't have to hide the reality. You tell them the truth. This is my story. He's got his story, and you need to take care of yourself, right? It's teaching them about self-love too. And setting strong boundaries. Can you talk to us a bit more about boundaries? Because I know that's a very big word in the world of codependency.
It is. And I feel that that gets confused around the topic of self-love, just as with narcissism. I mean, so often you talk about self-love in general public and their immediate thought is self-love is narcissistic behavior. If we are doing something for ourselves, then we're not doing something for others. And to find the balance between what a boundary is that is loving towards yourself and what is a boundary that is based on fear and narcissism. So what I mean by that is when narcissists are going to use boundaries, they're going to be manipulative, they're going to be really coming from a place of fear, trying to make someone do something or feel something. And that's just very toxic. And the difference, I think, often is that with narcissism, they just don't even realize. And because of their lack of empathy or low amount of empathy, they don't even have the compassion to understand how much pain they're causing or damage they're causing. Mm-hmm. Boundary setting then with someone who is codependent is going to be really important to recognize that if they need to set a boundary against someone who is being abusive to them, that is very self-loving, even though that person might be calling them a narcissist. I mean, I just had this recently where I needed to set a boundary with someone and explain to them how their behavior was making me feel, and they called me a narcissist. And, you know, I just needed to walk away and say, thank you for showing me that my decision to cut you out of my life was the right one. And I send them love and yet know that I need to not engage with them at all anymore because it is not healthy for me. Certainly isn't even healthy for them to be feeling like they've got to manipulate me in that way. So,
wow, that's so powerful. So powerful. I love that you said self-care is self-love. It's not in the whole confusion around being narcissistic about taking care of yourself. Narcissism and self-care, I suppose there could be a fogginess, but self-care is about being sure that you're healthy, that you're self-reliant and resourceful, and that you are in a good place so that that benefits everyone. It's a ripple effect. I think, you know, the narcissism is when you're selfish, and codependence is when you're selfless. And neither is really going to help anybody, right? Because if you're continuously selfless, the other person is not going to learn and step into their own path and work, right? Take care of his own needs.
Well, as I see it, with narcissism, they fight for love because that's, you know, with narcissism and codependency, we're just trying to get love from others. And with narcissism, they do it through manipulation. With codependency, they do it through, it's still a manipulation with codependency. We do it with giving of ourselves. We just keep giving and giving and giving, trying to get others to love us when we're not recognizing that we have the love within us. If we can do the work to recognize and connect to that love within us, that's where the healing begins. And so that's why I created Loving Yourself Whole, because the program has an online, a 6-module online program that the first module dives into the spirituality of self-love. And so self-love is really not quite the same as self-care. Self-care is caring for the body and putting ourselves in a healthier and you know, more open place. Like meditation is good self-care because it gives us the space to be able to make this connection within. But the first module of Loving Yourself Whole really dives into what is exactly our spiritual foundation. Who are we at our core? And why is it so damn hard to follow love and not get sucked into fear? And how hard it can be to recognize when we are actually following fear and making decisions from fear and not from love. And even when we think we might be following love and aligning with love. And so the first module is helping to dive into that. And the second module gets into energy and recognizing our levels of energy and being very aware of what energy level we might be in, not having any judgment for that energy level, whether it's the lowest energy level or the highest energy level, letting go of the judgment and just allowing ourselves to be and be aware. And the third module is my favorite, which is diving into past lives in terms of not, you know, going back and seeing, you know, maybe I was Cleopatra in the last life and what that all means. That's pointless in my understanding of past lives. What I think is important about past lives is to recognize that when we come into this life, we make specific choices to be in the family that we're in the body that we're in, the gender that we're in, the astrological chart under which we're born. We specifically choose that because all of those are specifically chosen for our purpose in this incarnation. Mm-hmm. And I feel strongly that if we can do the self-love work, release our judgment of wherever we're at, whatever challenges we have, because you know, our soul has challenges. Each, when we come into this life, we will choose a mission. We have certain fears. We have certain talents. We have certain challenges and investigations that we are here to accomplish. And the greater the self-love that we have, the greater we can tease apart all the fog and confusion around our lives and our decisions and see what exactly our purpose is for being here and how to align with that and really take that to the next level and make this life that we're living this time around have as great an impact as possible. Because I feel so strongly that if we can do that, each of us individually can do that, that is the love that will heal the world. You hear all our spiritual leaders talk about love will heal the world, but that's the love that they're talking about.
That's really beautifully said. And so you shared some of the work in your these three modules. So I would like to go back and say how you've used holistic means to help you get through this personal journey. And I'm also curious, when did you get your doctorate? Was that before marriage, after the divorce? How did you manage an illness, raising children, being in a challenging marriage, and run a bit? Yeah, how did you do it all? How does the Wonder Woman do it all until they can't anymore, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, I mean, I feel very aligned with optometry. I feel very strongly that that is part of my soul's purpose for this life, but I'm outgrowing that purpose. I feel like it served me and that I'm moving on. But I got my doctorate right out of college. I went to undergrad and got my doctorate just before getting married. We had been dating for the 6 years that I was in undergrad and then optometry school. And I came, you know, my childhood was, my mom died very suddenly when I was 6 years old. Oh. And my dad was very incapable of emotionally managing that enormous amount of trauma that all five of us kids went through.
Oh my goodness.
And so there was a lot of conditional love, a lot of dysfunction in my family around that conditional love, because there's no unconditional love. I became a massive people pleaser, because in my 6 year old mind, I had, you know, told myself that my mom died suddenly because I didn't answer a question properly that she had. You know, she had asked me a few days before she passed away, just as an exasperated mother of five, just, you know, what would you ever do if I died, kind of thing.
Oh my goodness.
And I was always a kind of a serious kid, and I was like, oh my God, I didn't know a mom could die. And so I was speechless. I couldn't answer her question. And then a few days later, that's what happens. She tucks me into bed, and the next morning she's gone. Oh, and my. So, you know, I tried to ask my dad how to pray at the funeral so that I could try to connect with her and explain to her that if you died, I would be devastated, and you know, whatever 6 year old terms I could try to get across.
Yeah.
And I never really, I kept asking my dad, when is mom coming home? When is mom coming home? And then when my stepmother came on the scene a couple of years later, she was very overwhelmed with the five children. She'd never had any kids of her own. And she was pretty insecure and not a terribly happy woman. So she was very hard to please. And she was always accusing me of doing things that my older sister, who had her own set of trauma with all that went down. She got very involved in drinking and drugs.
So the trauma started at the age of six, which is tremendous. And so many of us have multiple layers of traumas, whether they're big, like these are big. You've got some serious, you know, you've experienced these. And I'm so grateful that you are sharing your vulnerability with the audience, because you're not alone. Many, many of us have experienced trauma. You said you went to Texas for self-care to heal, not only the physical, which may have manifested from all of the trauma in your life, but, and you implemented all these self-care, self-love techniques, and then put them into a book and now putting it into a course. So in the last few minutes, could you please share with everyone what that was like, those years in Texas where you made this brave move, you left the marriage, and it's about care now. It's about taking care of you to inspire others to know that you can get through traumas and you can come out on top and be as beautiful and successful as you are.
Thank you for asking me that question, because it's been a challenge. When I moved here, I had lived in Wisconsin my whole life, other than the 4 years of optometry school in Chicago. And so it was a big move, and I became very scared and frightened with the job that I got. I had my first job was with an employer who, I don't use the term narcissist very often. I'm very, very selective, but that was most definitely the worst narcissist I'd ever had to deal with. And it was really hard. I got very caught up in codependent patterns and fear, and I had to go even deeper into my book had been published. I thought, you know, okay, I got this codependency thing all figured out. I'm good. I'm going. And then just to keep stepping forward and finding that I just keep getting caught up in one relationship after another of just trying to make friends and dating and dealing with this codependent pattern that I had and trying to, okay, that's another one of that. I'm going to have to set a boundary there, but recognizing that because I was still caught up in that, I was also attracting to me these people that were to be, you know, caught, you know, they get attracted to my codependent ways. And so it's been a lot of stepping in more deeply into understanding codependency and teasing it out and having compassion for myself when I get caught up in another, oh geez, God, this is another experience. But it is just marked the growth that I have been making. And as I've pulled myself out of that, I find myself being attracted to people who are, you know, finally really understanding this, like you, Alana. It just, you know, it's so, so important to be honest with ourselves. I just feel that that's the first step in really doing the deep self-love work, is to be honest with ourselves and have compassion for whatever we see we need to change and do it, and see that just because you see that and you're doing it doesn't mean you've got it. And even if you don't have it, that's okay. You're going to get it. Just keep going one step and put one foot in front of the other, you know, just keep going. It's a process, and it's a beautiful part of life. Especially when we can embrace that fact that this is a process. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to keep doing this.
No.
Yes.
But more effectively. It's almost as if, right. So part of being codependent, and we'll wrap this up, part of it is you're also, because I've studied the codependent nature, and you know, in a way it's like, well, I'm just being nice. I'm just being helpful, but you can't step in and live other people's lives for them. And so what I heard you say throughout all these nuggets of wisdom, if you find yourself in this kind of codependent narcissistic relationship, whether you're on one side or the other, release judgment, self-love, you might end up in another relationship just like it. It's okay. Be aware of it. So bringing awareness, and I know we talked about, and you mentioned it, meditation. So you have a meditation practice and mindfulness. Remove yourself from the situation. Write it out like your beautiful memoir. And just know you are not alone. The world is filled with challenges. And like you said, find your life purpose, turn it into what's working for you. And I'm just so grateful. And you have a free gift for everyone. Can you tell us just briefly what that is?
Yeah. So the free gift is called The Five Saboteurs of the Old Soul and Unconscious Saboteurs of the Old Soul. And it's really just a list of what it is that we are allowing to keep us stuck. Oftentimes the challenge of the old soul is that we're so empathic and we're so compassionate. And in the spirit of non-judgment, we often miss red flags. And so having this awareness around our self-doubt and our anxiety and our complacency and our preoccupation and our passivity. So I had to look at it to, but those are the five unconscious saboteurs of the old soul. And so it describes what those might look like in your life and how to overcome them, how to have awareness and how to use those saboteurs to your advantage.
Oh, perfect. And how can everyone access these?
So you can go to my website, drkarinlecount.com. So it's C-A-R-I-N. My dad says that he named it, spelt it that way, because if you put a G at the end of my name, hopefully is the kind of person I would be. So
a Dr. Oh, Dr. Yeah. Caring. I think that's very suitable.
Yeah.
Well, fabulous.
So on the homepage there, you can find, if you scroll down about halfway, you see
okay.
It.
Terrific. And, that will be in the notes. So take a look and thank you very much, Dr. Karen. Looking forward to reading more about your work and following your journey as you help others on the planet.
Thank you. And
to all the listeners and viewers, thank you. There's lots more to learn how to create abundance in your life for radiant health, wealth, and happiness. It's only a step away. I'm Alana, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you for listening to Creating Abundance. Be sure to like and subscribe. Stay tuned for the next podcast and get your free ebook at alanacahoon.com/ebook.